I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Getting my dad to say I love you.
To say what?
Say he loves it.
Outrageous.
That is nonsense.
Welcome back to Getting My Dad to Say I Love You, the podcast where I interview people I adore about their parents and their family life and get them to help encourage my dad, John Martin, to say I love you. John Martin's here for the intro. How are you, John?
I'm well.
Yawning.
Good evening. I'll not say good evening. Hello.
It's okay. Say whatever you want. Jenny Zagrino is my guest this week. Very funny comedian from America. Good friend of mine in America. She's very amusing.
Okay.
Do you like American comedy in general?
Oh, God. I was brought up in the world of Danny Kaye, so I'm so old it's not.
Danny Kaye is an American actor, singer, dancer, comedian, musician, philanthropist, and cook. I did not expect there to be a cook at the end of that.
He used to do a show each week, which my dad and I used to watch. That was quite good.
That segues nicely. Makes you think of happy times of you and your father.
Yeah. We used to have a television from Robinson Rentals.
No, rented a TV.
Because TVs in those days used to go wrong a lot.
Yep.
So lots of people used to rent them. And then when it did go wrong, a funny little man used to come out from Robinson Rentals. There weren't women TV engineers in those days, if you're asking. A funny man used to come and fix it.
There weren't women many things in those days, Dad.
No. When Mr. Robinson, he left all his money, set up a college in Cambridge, which is called, I think, Robinson College.
There we go. What more fitting a way to introduce my guest Jenny Zagrino than by talking a brief history of Robinson Rentals? I guarantee you, Dad, it's the only time anyone's ever given this introduction to Jenny Zagrino. So I'm going to go chat to her. I'll be back in an hour. Sound good?
Okay. Well, we'll wait till you come back. Hope she's not upset about Robinson Rentals.
I'm sure she'll be okay. How are we, Jenny?
Great. Did I tell you about the sketch I wrote about dads and sons?
You didn't.
I wrote a sketch that was a game show called Daddy, Do You Love Me? And it was just a bunch of men trying to get their dads to say they love them.
I didn't know. How did it go? Did you pitch it?
I wrote it for a sketch class, and then I put it to SNL and I did not get the job. But I think
that's
it's a great sketch.
It's a great sketch.
And then just them being like, Dad, do you love me? And the dad's like, yep. All right. When's the game on?
It's like you're basically describing my dad right now. Apart from he doesn't watch a game, he watches Antiques Roadshow. He's like,
me and your dad get along. We both have problems saying we love people and we love Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah, it's true. That's why you and me get on. You're my American dad.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when someone dies, they think it's like in the dead relatives in a cat. I'm like, I moved to another country. My dad's in you. That sounded not how I wanted it to sound. I apologize to both you and my father for what I just said. Oh, good. I like this. This is cool. Normally what I start with is I ask the guests, but we've gone into a lovely little world here. But I like to ask, have both your parents, Jenny, said the phrase, I love you to you before?
Yeah, my parents throw it pretty freely.
But you don't throw it back.
I throw it back to them. I think I throw it back a lot, but in like relationships, I definitely either don't say it or say it and don't mean it.
Wow.
because I'm like, well, I should be loving this person, right?
Aww. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I do know that feeling, that like the obligation to not upset someone. So you think, oh, but isn't that's worse though, surely? What? So do you say it, and then later on when you
and
break
there's
up,
there's a voice in my head that's like, you don't love them.
Do they say it first and then you say it back, or do you initiate?
I initiate it, which is the weird thing. I'm the one that says it first.
I do know. Sometimes you're on a really nice day or you have a nice moment with someone. You're like, I love them. And then you're like, no, I think I just really enjoy water slides and we were on one.
I'm seeing this person and they, at one point, I was telling my head, I got Botox, and they said, I love your Botox. And I like froze like a squirrel.
Really?
I was just like, what? And he's like, wow. I love your Botox. And I was like, you're really throwing that L word in there, but very casually.
Why can't you say that? That's how scared you are of I love you.
I was like, saying, oh,
no. Someone says, I love your hair. You're like, get away from me, you freak.
Yeah. What do you want from me?
Get away from me. It's too much. Oh, man, that's fine. Okay, I didn't realize because...
I'm anxious. I'm like, I think my love style is what's called ambivalent avoidant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anxious avoidant. Anxious is like you're very attached and avoidance, like get away. And like ambivalent avoidant is like, I need you, but then the minute you give me what I want, I'm like, go away. Like it's a fucked up version of my attachment style. It's not great.
It's not. But, you know, it's you and you are who you are. Are you working on that?
I know where it comes from.
Well, way to bring it back.
Parents.
Well, let's talk about them then, because obviously I wanted you on here. You're the only American guest in my first season of this. I've gone very British. But
that's great.
I wanted you on it because obviously we're friends and obviously you're my dad, but in a female American form. but also because you talk a lot
about
it.
Game on, Chris. Let's go. Come on.
How funny, how weird would that be if you just ripped your face off while we're doing it? Hello, Christopher. I'm like, no. I wasn't expecting you, John. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So,
wait, in this scenario,
let's keep going.
Has your dad killed me and crawled inside my skin?
I mean, I don't know. My dad is actually a very sweet person. So, him killing you, if he killed you, he would not do it. And he's so messy as well. There's no way he'd be able to hide that. There'd be like half your skin just like on his desk or something. There's no way he'd be able to do it.
It'd be Vincent D'Onofrio in Men in Black.
That's a great reference. What was his character in that?
He was the
farmer. Second Men in Black reference, by the way.
Really?
This series. Ramesh said that he cried at the end of Men in Black 3 because he was sad about his dad. But who's Vincent? What did you say his name was?
Vincent D'Onofrio. I think it's Vincent D'Onofrio. He played the farmer.
Oh,
who gets like, remember he gets like, he puts his skin on?
Yes.
And it's like rotting.
Mate, I'm all for a retro movie reference, but I also hate it when I don't get it immediately and I feel like I've let the team down by not being on
that. Yeah, it's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Okay.
I'm looking, like, I can't even believe that his name came into my head. Do you know what I mean? I haven't said his name out loud in probably 7 years.
That's what this podcast does, mate. It brings up some repressed memories, you know, parents, Z-list movie actors. Is he in anything else you would have heard of?
Oh yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio's in like tons
now
of
I have
shit.
To look out who this fucking Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, so basically he's like a farmer and then the alien comes and then he stuffs himself inside the guy.
Oh yeah, okay. Vincent D'Onofrio. So basically my dad hasn't done that is what we've established.
Yeah, your dad is not Vincent D'Onofrioing me.
If my dad killed you, he would get caught within an hour. Just it would be he'd walk out with blood on his shirt. He has food stains normally on his shirt. It'd be funny if he has Zagrino DNA all over his chin and his collar. Oh, what a morbid image to start with.
I love it.
We love it. But so your parents, though, you talk a lot about them on stage and
yeah,
very very candidly.
Mom. Yeah, well, mostly. It started off as my mother, and then Now I'm getting more into my dad. I feel like my dad was kind of, he was like the innocent one for a while. And now that,
now he's in your sights.
After Trump got elected, it was like, well, dad, you're next.
How do they feel about you talking about them on stage?
Have my mom loves it.
My mom's the same. My mom watched me do an hour Edinburgh preview once, sat in the front, did not laugh once apart from the 3 minutes of material I did about her and my dad. And then she like lost her shit laughing. I'm like, okay, now I see why I get my narcissistic need to be on stage from. What's so funny. She's like, yeah, I get this relates to me. I get it. I'm laughing.
Yeah, she can relate to anything else, but she can relate to the stuff about your dad and her.
Yeah. So your mom loves it.
Mm-hmm.
When she watches you, is she disappointed if there's not enough mother chat?
I mean, she's like, she hasn't seen me in a while, and the jokes I have about them now are not them. Like before they were like cute, like, oh, my mom is so silly, look at this. Now it's like, my parents are idiots. Not idiots, but my parents are politically fucked. Their ideologies are bad.
Politically on the side, this is not your side. And I imagine some listeners might be on that side. And guys, you know, you can.
I don't think they are.
I don't think they are.
I don't think your listeners would be on that side.
I'd be very surprised. But, you know, people read stuff on the internet and they often believe it. So, and I need as many listeners as possible. So obviously, I wouldn't vote for that guy. But if you do, I don't hate you as long as you keep listening to the podcast. Give me a 5-star rating. Such a sellout. So they're politically opposed to you now. And you mentioned that. And then if she watched you now, do you think she'd be a bit upset?
Yeah. I think I've made a conscious decision that the joke I do have about them and their journeys are not going to go on my album. Mm-hmm. Because it's just like, it's, you know, it's,
you don't want to hurt their feelings.
I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want them to like lose friends or jobs.
I don't want
the FBI to go after them.
We will not go into detail on that, but there is a bit that's quite, which is best done live about something they have been at.
But a journey they took together, yes.
Little journey they took together. So growing up then with them, did you kind of, who do you think from them kind of put the creativity into you? And the other thing that comes up a lot is I always think you have to have a good work ethic to be a successful comedian and creator, which you are. So from them, who gave you the creativity, who gave you the discipline to, and then the work ethic?
I don't think either of them gave me any of that. You know what it was?
Tell me.
I think that I was the youngest. I didn't want to make the mistakes of my parents.
Yes,
necessarily.
That comes up a lot.
So, and also too, like I feel like my ethic and drive come from mostly like my need to gain their approval. So basically, I feel like, okay, from my mother, I got this like work ethic of like do it yourself.
Your mom's very industrious. She's very industrious. She flips houses, right?
Yeah, and she like came to America at like 26 with like a 7-year-old. You know, didn't know any English, couple hundred bucks, and like became a computer programmer, and like started this whole life.
How'd you become a? That feels like a thing that you need to have studied for just so long.
In the 80s, though, it was different. It was Wild West with computer programming.
Computers were just an abacus on a screen. Was that it?
Yeah, like, pretty much. They're just like, oh, we need people.
Yeah. Do you know how to use a mouse? Yup, you're programming this computer.
So I think I learned from her, like, this kind of drive and just getting the things you want and, like, getting it done and finding a way to get it done.
Did she, did she tell you growing up, like, were there like phrases about hard work or less, or was it just you watched like, I think it's something that some people, what?
It was don't trust anybody.
I get that. I know
Jenny,
that.
Trust no one. You want something done, you have to do it yourself. Don't trust anybody.
I got that from my dad. My dad used to do a lot of do it yourself everyone's don't trust anyone. Yet he has trusted so many people and been like mugged off in a business sense by them. But he kept.
I think your dad and my dad are similar in that way.
Yeah, he would just be like, he worked from, well, he ran his own, you know, law firm, but then he would be like, don't trust anyone. And then I realized he says that, but then any task that he can't be asked to do, he'll leave to somebody else and they'll often massively take advantage because he's very good natured as well. And he doesn't pay attention to detail, which is a bad combo. So I like that though. Don't trust anybody.
My mom has a very dirty sense of humor. Apparently, like
tell me how.
She just tells me like all these dirty Russian jokes all the time that are poorly translated.
Can you do one on here?
She told me this one. I'm sure it's just a street joke, but she was like, a guy went into a doctor and was like, doctor, there's a ring of red around my penis. And the doctor gave him all this medication and nothing worked. And he goes, there's this red ring around my penis. And the doctor gave him this cream and it worked. And the guy's like, what did you give me, doctor? It worked. And he was like, lipstick remover.
Hey, I like that. I like that, especially because it comes from a mum. That's a great, that's her humor. Okay.
Oh yeah, so my mom's really dirty. She's very flirty too. My mom is super flirty. She's just like a flirty, dirty lady. And I think I get that from her. I'm very flirty.
You are quite flirty, actually.
I'm a bit like a flirty, charming thing. Like, I think my mom was very, she's very pretty. And she was like pretty and short and dark hair and big eyes and was like beautiful. So I think she like was very good at like using her sexuality to get things that she wanted.
Interesting.
Versus I feel like I'm just much more like humor and charm and like, I'll make you feel good. I make people feel good, so then they do things for me.
That's funny. That's fair. Well, you know, if people are going to keep doing stuff for you, it'd be rude to stop them.
Why not?
No, you're right though. I remember when I first met you. It was at Bigfoot Lodge, and I met you, and you're just one of those people. Like within about 30 seconds, I'm like, oh, cool. It's easy and fun conversation.
Yeah.
And you're very open, I think, when you meet someone straight away.
But I'd seen you perform. The first time I saw you perform, it was your owl bit at Nerd Melt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When I was wearing a suit when I first moved here.
I think you just moved here.
I just moved here and I was wearing a suit. Because I was like, no one wears a suit at these gigs in LA. I was like, the reason why is it's really hot and it's a lot of effort and everyone thinks you're an agent.
Yes.
Everyone's like, I want to get rep by this guy. And then you go, why is this guy from CAA doing material about owls?
This new British rep, is he here to take us away?
Yeah.
Take us from LA to sunny old England.
Yeah, especially after Trump just got elected. Yeah, he's take us to the promised land where currently you can't get any petrol because of Brexit. So both are bad. That's interesting. Your mum and dad are divorced? That's correct.
Yeah, since I was like three.
Since you were three. Is she with someone else now? As in, she flirt?
She's flirty. She got married one time. My dad was her second marriage. And then she got briefly married to some guy.
Briefly married? When you were older?
Yeah. When I was like in college.
Wow, okay.
But she like dated. I remember her boyfriends. I didn't particularly like any of them.
Right. All right.
She goes for, it's so funny, is I can see who my mom dates. And I'm like, oh, I kind of date that too.
Interesting. Oh, isn't that fun when you get older and you realize you are just doing...
I'm just fucking my mom's type.
I wasn't going to go that specific because that's not something I'm doing as far as I'm aware.
Or my dad. Like, last night I was watching The Panic in Needle Park and Al Pacino's in it. And I'm like, he looks like my dad. That's really? Why I'm so in love. Oh, man, I'm fucked up.
It's fun that you're aware of it, though. You're like...
I'm super aware. I also always look... When I meet people and their spouses, I try to, if I can see what their parents look like, I'm just like, how close are they fucking? Or you meet people who are dating or fucking someone who looks just like them. And that's a whole fucking weird thing.
I agree. There's, it's really, someone I won't name is dating a new person. And you're like, oh, you're just that person with long hair. I can't say it. You can't say it. It's much more fun when someone looks like their dog, and that's like, ah, it's a bit of fun. But when you're like, oh no, you're having sex with someone that is you.
Who looks just like you.
But you more go for your mum's type. That's interesting.
Yeah, she goes for like tall beards. They always, almost all of them had beards. Dark hair. Very like a center of attention dudes. Dudes who like command a room and are like very sociable, very charming, very like, you know, everyone wants to talk to them. Everyone wants to be around them kind of thing, which is very much my dad.
Yeah, but I've weirdly met a couple of people you've dated, and they're more, a bit more introverted, I think. They're less center of attention-y, so you don't seem to want to go for that person.
I've turned this into me doing
some budget therapy for you right now.
I've been trying to change my pattern because I know my pattern's not healthy, right? It's like I would go after these guys who were very big and boisterous and like center of attention. And I liked it because I wanted that.
Right.
Because I wanted to feel that feeling. Mm-hmm. But what I'm realizing, but then it would cause so many other problems. So I'm like, I do need someone who's going to be more supportive of me versus like me being the supportive, like, oh, he's just drunk. He hits people when he's drunk. No big deal.
Oh, God.
It's a fun hit.
We'll put that on the cons list.
That's the first boyfriend con.
Oh, God.
But yeah, but my dad is that. He's like, he's a Leo, first of all.
Oh, you're a big star sign person, aren't you?
I am. So he's a Leo. He is center of attention, storyteller, big exaggerator. Loves to tell a story. Loves to lecture, and not like in a bad way, but like wants to teach you this thing that he just read in a book, and like
I know that
you
type
know,
of
and
man.
And then connect it with
so
these big
well.
Theories. He's like always trying to find religion and God, and he's like big brain thinking guy.
That doesn't feel like. So here's an interesting thing. That's what you remember. That's your dad, and you associate him with that. Because I was talking on one of these other episodes, and I was saying when I'm, it's weird as a comedian, but when I'm telling a story within about 12 seconds, I think, what, this is bad. And I wish I wish people weren't relying on me to make this entertaining right now. Yeah. But you don't seem like a huge holder of a, you're very engaging charm, but you don't have that facet, I don't think, where you just, because also a lot of that is someone, a lot of these people will tell a very long story and be so confident and not read signals of people going like, this is not floating my boat. But you don't really see, you seem a bit more like you will choose your moment to.
I think on stage, I'm good at holding court.
Of course, on stage it's different. It's like
I'm a good storyteller. On stage,
of course. I wasn't saying you're a bad storyteller. Don't read between the lines there. No, of course, on stage, very different. But you know that there's a different type of person, like you said, who's like, I am gonna just witter on with no. Because on stage, you're aware of an audience, and I think actually a lot of people, when they tell these big stories, are not always aware of the audience.
Yeah. I think that in person, I'm like painfully aware that I'm talking too much or that I'm taking up too much space in the conversation. Like I start to feel really guilty that like, oh, I'm not asking enough questions. I'm not engaging enough. Like then it takes me out of actually even listening to them because I'm so worried that I'm not listening enough.
Oh yeah.
That I'm just like,
I agree. This is what I mean. We relate. There's a British person. It's my dad. He's inside you. It's a British person.
He is.
Who is
inside me.
A tiny version of my dad is inside you. Because you British people are always worried. Oh, God, is this going to be awkward and I'm not doing the right thing. And out here, more often than not Americans, not always. Some are a bit less aware of that. But you have that inside you. And your mum, maybe, but your mum, is she more... underneath
like
the flirtiness
talk forever and doesn't all right shit.
So you basically saw those two and you went, I just want to not be those two.
My mom also loves to talk. She loves conversation. She'll talk your ear off about nothing. But I also think that's just age. Do you know
that's
what I mean
age. There is a certain age of person
where you just go and go.
You get trapped in a There's certain people are like, oh God. And it's amazing how some people, you're like, you're looking for exit routes in a conversation and they're just shutting doors left, right, and center. You're like, all right.
Okay, I say I love you to my mom at the end of the phone at least 4 times before I actually get off the phone. Okay, I love you, mom. Okay, so later today I have a handyman coming. Okay, mama, I gotta go. Okay, but one more thing. I'm going to the auction site today and I have to, okay, mom, I love, just, it's over and over.
That's funny.
And my dad and I, as he's gotten older and I think with political stuff, we don't connect like we used to. Like, mm-hmm. I used to live with him and, like, I was really very much a daddy's girl and, like, really liked living with him and like, he was very open and really smart. And he is really smart. He's a super smart dude. He's a lawyer like your dad. He does, like, contract stuff, but he also, like, loves philosophy and just reads and, like, wants to tell you all this cool stuff and da-da-da-da-da. But I think that since he's, like, has... you know, my little sister, and politically, I think that he thinks that I'm going to challenge him all the time. And I'm always like, oh, he's going to say something that I'm going to have to challenge.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can't let it slide. When you become a bit old, it's hard to just... Yeah, I know that. Sometimes my dad's very, very caring, open person, but sometimes he'll say some stuff and I'm just like, come on, man. Yeah. But he's pretty good at going, oh, right, have I got that wrong? Okay, fair enough. He's actually pretty good at that. you can't say that anymore. Okay, Christopher, fine. Well, you can't say anything, but all right, fine, I understand. But he's not happy about it, but he will back down. I mean, you know this. He's inside your brain right now. He's inside your body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's under your left armpit.
I stand corrected.
I am
on my face.
So then that's interesting though that you used to obviously your parents split when you were 3, so it doesn't take the most PhD lauded psychiatrist to add that information into a mix and think that maybe as a stand-up this is something that's come up a few times, is my parents are still together and they love each other. But there was, they are very tumultuous, lots of arguing growing up. And I realized that a lot of what we do is to make people have a good time. Because when people are arguing when you're younger and you're hearing that, you're very powerless to fix it. And so I think a lot of this is we're trying to bring joy to people. And related to that, this is kind of a long-winded thing. I've been in the car when you speak to your family and different sides of the family, and you are you're kind of the fixer. Is that wrong? Or is that what I kind of, you're trying to... You are trying to help people in the family. I think that's a sweet thing you do. You kind of want to help everyone get on.
I think I'm like, I would like to fix. I would. It's like I would be the fixer if everyone listened to me.
Okay.
Like, so I have an older brother who's 14 years older than me. And for a while he was like a dad figure and now he's like a brother figure. But him and I are very like... We're both the only liberals in the family.
Interesting.
We kind of like watch the rest of them and are just like, oh my God, what are they doing? Like him and I kind of go and do our own thing and like we plan to go do stuff because we actually like the plans actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the family, we're just kind of like, oh, all right, well. Okay, mom's doing a thing. Mom just bought, 18 sofas from a website. Guess we have to figure out how to get them home, or like, we can't go see, dad this month because he's not vaccinated. Do you know what I mean? It's just like we used to fix and now everyone feels very beyond repair.
Interesting. That's hard though.
Yeah. And then then I get mad and I get really... I get angry, I get mad, I get like, I notice my tone with my family change, where I become very like cold and like kind of one word answers. Cause I just like, I think as far as like my family trauma is like, I very much have been hurt by them. Like I would basically like, sorry, I'm like getting over a cold. I'm basically like...
Sounds sexy, just saying.
I know.
Me and Jenny are friends. I can say that. It's very raspy. Don't cancel me for saying that.
Sorry. How clean do we have to be on this show?
I mean, you're okay. You can say what you want. You just told a joke about your mum. Your mum told you about a guy getting his...
Oh, that's true. But that's like cute.
I guess it could have... Someone could have just kissed his dick.
Just a little
peck on the helmet. a phrase I was not expecting to say.
Little peck on the helmet.
Sounds lovely in a British accent. Little peck on the bell end.
I'm very much like, I will give my trust and then they'll break it and then I have to pull back. And then I do it again and then I pull back. Because they're just, you know, I think something that I've been trying to work on in therapy is just like meeting people where they are and just letting go that they're never going to change.
It's so hard, especially as parents get older and mine have been a bit unwell in certain ways. And some of it is brought on by their own lifestyle choices. And so many times you can try and the thing you got to remember is people have to want to change stuff themselves, but it is very frustrating. Yeah. It's hard when you don't want to change them because you want them to fit into your MO. You just want to help them be healthier in mind and body. It's very frustrating. There's no real solution. Like you said, you just have to let them. That's hard, isn't it?
I can't get my mom to drink water. I can't do it. I can't get this bitch to drink
water. That's so funny. Like not even, like, what does she drink? How does she stay alive?
She drinks decaf coffee.
Right.
All day. I think that's it. I don't know what else this woman drinks.
That's a funny drink to just constantly drink as well. Why? Because she can't do the caffeine. Tea and someone, my friend actually, you've made me remember a funny story. My friend told me her great grandparents live in Australia in Perth.
Yeah.
And the granddad was fainting a lot. And then he was hallucinating and fainting. They went to the doctor and they're like, how much water do you drink a day? And he goes, none. And this is in Australia where it's like 100 and whatever. I don't know what the Fahrenheit is, but loads.
Yeah.
And apparently all him and the grandmother did was drink a cup of tea in the morning and one at 4 p.m. because they didn't want to get up for a piss in the middle of the night. That's all they drank.
Jesus,
that's insane.
Christ.
Decaf coffee is also weird because that's like not even, that's not even the fun of the, like, I don't know.
Occasionally like a Coke. She'll drink like a Coke, no ice, all the time. Coke, no ice.
She won't even have ice. That's too much water.
It's too much water. She wants to get as much Coke as she can.
That's so funny.
But like, it's so funny as I'm like, she's obsessed with looking young, right?
Right.
The whole reason I have Botox is because of her. Because this bitch has gotten into my brain and now I have it.
She's now literally right near your brain. She's right near your brain.
She is. And so I'm like, Mom, if you drink water, you'll look younger. I don't drink water, Xenia. I don't do it. And every day is a conversation. Like, this is my mother. I've had an eating disorder. She knows all about it. She knows I went into eating disorder treatment. This whole thing with like my weight has always been a thing in like the family. Like I finally was like, we don't talk about it. Just leave me alone. To this day, every day she calls me and is like, Xenia, guess how much I weigh today?
Oh, wow. Every day?
And so literally every day. And then she'll tell me her diet and what she didn't eat and how much she didn't drink. And Jenny, I only eat one meal a day. And I'm like, just like pulling my hair out on the other line, being like, you're dying. You're going to die. Eat more food. This is how I do it, Xenia. Okay? This is my life. Okay? It is not about you. This is how I do it. But I lost 2 pounds since yesterday. Oh. I look so good. This is like
amazing.
Every day.
Is that not from a, obviously that sounds horrific, but is that not coming from like a, two things are in my head right now. One is she's doesn't have a partner at the moment. So she just, so her things, it's like, what does she do? She's done a thing and she wants an excuse to talk to you. Is a half a thing. And the other thing is maybe she, like, you know, if you've been struggling with that stuff, and I know Hans doesn't mind me saying, but she has struggled with that stuff as well. It's like, and you know, her mother, it's difficult for mums to really understand. I think it, her way of what she wants to say is like, I might be wrong, maybe she doesn't want to say this, but it's just certain parents of a certain generation, it's really hard to just be like, I love you and I just want you to be healthy and like be okay. But in her head, she's like, I'm going to tell you this and then maybe that will inspire you, or maybe that's not even what's going in her head to like.
Oh yeah, I mean, she used to make bets with me or like, like pay me to let her cook for me for a week so that she could have control of my food.
Right, right.
And just like.
But that's like, her heart's in the right
place.
There's
the dark part of my mother.
Well, it's not, I think it's like, she's trying to help, but she doesn't know how to. So she's like coming from her background of of street jokes and betting.
I make you soup. You'll have soup every day. Just the cabbage soup. It's fine. You will look beautiful. I'm like, I don't know. What did you expect is going to happen in a week? I'm just going to shit my brains out.
That sounds like
I'm
going to
go eat. I'm going to go, because I'm like an adult, I'll go buy food outside the house.
Yeah. You don't put me on house arrest. That is prison. If you eat cabbage soup and you can't leave the house, that's prison.
That's prison.
That is prison.
But she's like, the funny thing too is like, she, I'll be like, no, mom, you know, I spoke to my nutritionist. That's what you're doing is bad. No, I met a woman on the beach today and she told me to eat this way. And then she did it and she wound up in the hospital.
What was she eating?
Shit. Just meat and dark chocolate.
The dark chocolate. What diet is that?
Of course, no water. Like, I'm just like, why?
What a diet. What diet are you on? The meat and dark chocolate
the
diet.
The meat and dark chocolate. And I'm like, mom, you were in the hospital because you couldn't poop. It's fine. It's fine. I'm getting older. It's normal. And I'm like, no, it's not. And that's what bugs me too, is like, none of her doctors ever ask her like what she eats.
Right.
You know, if I was there, I'd be like, this bitch ate nothing but red meat for a month.
You want to go. Yeah. Look, when your parents go to see doctors, they really should bring a younger person, because they'll come back and they'll be like, they won't even tell you. The doctor could be like, you've got a week to live. And they'll be like, I'm fine. It's nothing to worry about. Didn't want to worry you. That's my favorite one. Parents just didn't want to worry you. Dad, you've got no arms. Like, you got no arms. Oh, I didn't want to worry you. That's fine. I've got two legs still.
She's very secret about her medical stuff. Like, I've had to look through her mail to find out about her medical history. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know she had shit in her lungs. And she's just like, oh, I've always had it. I'm like, what are you talking about? You've always had like little polyps in your lungs and you've never told anybody? No, it's fine.
She doesn't want to seem weak. That's the thing. It's that harder thing as they get older as well. They don't want to look fallible.
Like, do you feel like they feel vulnerable around you?
Well, at the moment they've had health stuff. No, they've actually been quite good at admitting it recently, but I think it's because I'm in another country, so they don't mind showing it. Or my dad's much more tries to get on with it. My mum is having some she doesn't handle being ill very well, as in which is interesting, because I hate being ill. And here's the thing that I discovered on this. When I was younger, my mum was unwell a lot, had stuff going on, and she smoked and was just often ill and didn't do stuff. So I've always done my best to just never be ill and get on with it, which is more my dad's attitude, which is good. But I used to think that was the right way, but it isn't the right way. There's like a balance between the two. I've started to address a lot of the things I thought was my mum was doing wrong, and actually realized that was like me being a little boy and my dad's being like my hero and all that, and actually realizing that it's okay. She isn't the one that was wrong. She was just acting her way, and there's no right or wrong way, I think, when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Come here, son.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So what I was going to say, when you were closer to your dad, by the sounds of it, when you were younger, now you kind of moved a bit closer to your mum. Is that?
No.
Is that, no. You move equally far from both.
No, I think so. Which bums me out. No. Okay. Okay. So mothers and daughters have complicated relationships. Mm-hmm. And then you add in, you know, the fact that I was fat and my older sister wasn't, right? So,
right.
And then growing up in the 80s in a very fat phobic society. So not only did I have the pressure of my mother and constantly like monitoring my body. So I like have a very, I'm very much about like, I don't like people touching my, I don't like my stuff. Like I have a thing about like nothing ever felt like mine.
Yeah.
Growing up. So like, I don't like people telling me what to do with my body. I don't like people telling me what to do with my stuff. I don't like people telling me what to do with the things that are mine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just because I grew up for my mother, like nothing was mine. I had like no autonomy. She controlled my food. She controlled, you know, what I did. She controlled all that stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And so as I've gotten older, I think with her, I'm so averse to it that I'll like trigger, like hair trigger fight with her about stuff.
Interesting.
If I feel okay. like anything's being encroached, like my power is being taken away by her in any way. And then with my dad, as we were super close, I lived with him, but as he's gotten older and more right wing and more religious, I feel like he's kind of disappeared and I've not become his daughter, but more I've become a symbol of like feminist liberalism.
Right.
So I'm kind of an enemy in a way.
That's hard. It's so hard to deal with that, isn't it?
It's yeah. Like my dad was very like, you know, like I went to an art high school. He paid for me to record an album. Like he was so supportive of me and like being this independent, like he was the one who got me comedy classes when I was 15.
Oh.
You know, like he was so supportive of me and my art and like what I wanted to do. And then, you know, now he's so like the demise of culture was when women went into the workforce. You know what I mean? Like it's such That's a different crazy. 180. So it's just that he's not the dad I grew up with. And I still love him like crazy and we still laugh and have fun together. But there's just like always this feeling of like, well, there's a line I can't cross with him anymore. Like there's a wall in our relationship. And with my mother, it's different now. It's like we're a little bit closer, but anything could set us off to where we won't talk for a few days.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like
the mother-daughter thing is... Yeah, I know from my sister and from Hans, it's like, I've seen it firsthand. It's it's kind of verges on more like a sister, depending on the mum. It can it's very volatile.
This is my theory, is that daughters are always in competition with their mothers, mm-hmm. and are constantly being protected by their fathers, right? So you're either like in this fight competition with one parent, and the other parent is like monitoring you. You know, there's also like this, like, especially with young girls, like, we have to cover ourselves because of men. You know what I mean? Like, we're the temptress kind of vibe. And sons don't have that. Sons are the apple of their mother's eye, right? They're just like loved and are being groomed by the father.
Right.
Right. So it's like a completely different.
Yet again, men have just got a sweet deal.
You got such a sweet deal. It's like the best deal.
It's so good to be a guy still.
Yeah.
And but like, that is, no, it's, I'm joking, but that is kind of, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's, it is, yeah, it's, that's not fair.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I, you know, it's like, I feel, I don't want people to come off and be like that my parents are awful too. Like, I mean, everyone's just doing the best they can.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think that's an important point. And generally for the whole podcast series, we all say quirks of our parents or people. And it's like, doesn't mean we dislike them. It just, everyone's flawed. And it's just.
Everyone's flawed and they're doing their best. And I'm lucky that my parents, you know, weren't abusive. Well, super. I'll say super abusive. They didn't know the trauma they were doing. Well, they couldn't understand it.
Everything that there's always going to be, you're right, there's always people worse off, but there's also like, you're just telling your truth. It doesn't mean it's any less impactful.
Yeah.
How you were.
Yeah.
But you, I guess. So you get, it's okay. This is the safe space to talk in detail in any way you want without me going, she's complaining about nothing. You got loads of stuff. You know, you're just being honest, which I think is what we want on this podcast. We want people to be honest, and we want. So then, that's an interesting thing you said about your dad. He used to be so supportive and pay for your albums and stuff. Do you still? Because, like you said right at the beginning of this, you said that you know what we do, and you do it because you want sort of affirmation from them to a degree. Do you? There's different gradients of that as well. Like, you're doing it. Are you doing it because you want them to be like, Jenny's awesome? Or do you think you're doing it because you just want to be like, not even like awesome, like, hey guys, I'm doing okay. Does that make sense? Like, it,
you if, like I've ever, stand up and stuff.
Yeah. I'm thinking more like on the work side, because of, you know, linking it to work. When I tell, if I have something happen, I'll tell my parents, and I still kind of care what they think. I wish I didn't care at all what they think, but I do care. But I think I want them to know that I'm fine. It's that I'm fine, rather than like, they're going to be like, yes, I just want them to be like, guys, you did a good job. I'm okay. I'm making a living.
I'm
alive.
I want them to brag about me. I want my
really?
Parents to brag and be like, our daughter does this. And to an extent they do. I think they probably don't express it. So both my parents, my mother wanted to be a dancer and actress in Russia. Mm-hmm. But her dreams were squashed because apparently she was short. I don't know, whatever. It was like, it's a different thing.
She ate too
thing.
Much
like,
meat before the audition and couldn't do a shit and had to cancel.
So like, my mother was like a short, she's like five, she has a lot of hangups about being short.
Interesting. Okay.
Right. So like, she was dark haired, 5'2", Jewish looking, right? In Russia, where everyone's blonde, 5'9".
Right.
Whatever. So I think, I mean, her passport said Jewish, didn't say Russian. So I feel like she had her hangups about it, so she didn't go for it. My dad also wanted to be, I think maybe you'll agree, all lawyers want to be actors to some extent.
Yeah, they all want to entertain. And my dad's main thing, he used to like, he actually quit because he hated being a lawyer, but he liked going for big dinners and entertaining and all that stuff, and that's
yeah.
Kind of
so my dad has also had that of like wanting to be an actor, wanting to be like, you know, like a. I remember I had him read an audition for me Like, I was at home and I was like, I'm an audition. He acted the shit out of that audition.
I bet off like, camera. He's like, maybe Dad. He's like, maybe they'll give me the part just from my voice off screen. Yeah.
It was great. And same with my brother. My brother was an opera singer. My brother's also been very supportive of my career.
Oh, that's
he
good.
Wanted to be an opera singer and like perform. So I come from this background of people who want to perform, but whatever the circumstances, it didn't happen for them. So I feel like I want to be the, like I did it. I succeeded.
That's a lot of pressure. That's so much. It's already hard doing this job with our own pressure. And then you feel like you're bearing the torch
to
for
fulfill the dreams of my parents.
Yeah. They've passed on the golden microphone to Jenny.
I think they just want me. I think at the end of the day, they want me to be happy, but I also don't think they know how to separate what their form of happiness is versus my form of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, parents are always like, well, we just want you to be happy. But it's like, yeah, but if happy to me is like living in a dumpster, like,
they want,
then you have to
no,
be okay with that.
Yeah. No, what they mean is they want you to, it was the same as like, I said this before, like mum famous is like, they want you to do certain things that they consider like you could, you could go. I'm trying to think of something they don't have a clue
if I was
about.
On America's Got Talent.
Exactly. Ooh. Exactly. They'd be like, your mom would be able to brag to everyone, watch my daughter on network television. If you were like, hey, I'm on this really cool, in this really cool indie movie that's like on Apple Plus, she'd be like, how do I even, I don't know, maybe your mom's better at technology than mine, but like, I don't know how to watch that. You have to get it.
I took my mom to the premiere of the last movie I was in.
Yes. Did she like it?
And she...
What was her comments?
She loved it. She loved it. She was flirting with everybody.
I bet she was.
She brought a bag of cherries, just a bag of open cherries.
I love it.
And it was like, do you want cherries? And I'm like, Mom, stop offering people cherries. And they were like, yeah.
I mean, everyone, I will say this,
their hands
cherries, cherries are my favorite fruit. So if your mum...
You would have been so charmed by my mother.
I would have been like, Jenny, get out of the way. Let me...
Your mom brought a bag of cherries.
Bag of cherries is the way to my heart.
So it's like with the whole cast, we're all just like eating out of this bag of cherries.
That's funny. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
She had fun.
She had fun. Everyone took her cherries. Perfect night.
Yeah. She like,
daughter was in
her,
a movie. Everyone ate my cherries. Just basically a 10 out of 10 evening.
I took her to another festival in Las Vegas and like they had a professional makeup person. So like I was like, Mom, do you want to get your makeup professionally done? Then we did a photo shoot. Like she loves it. She's like, this is the perks I've always wanted in my life.
Oh, that's
right.
Good.
And then I think she went on a date that night.
Hello.
Because her makeup was done. So she like went on J-Date and found a Jew.
What? I like the fact your mom's on the apps. That's cool.
She's on the websites. Right, she doesn't understand still, the apps.
The apps. Yeah. Okay. That's still impressive. Yeah. I don't think my dad or mom, if they broke up, would be able to even do that. They just, I don't even want to think about what they do, actually. It's kind of a bit of a, give myself a bleak image of my dad just being hammered in a gutter. He's fine. He's good. They're good. They're still together. They're hanging on in there. But in a lovely way. And I love you guys if you're listening. What was I going to say? That's interesting. So your mum came very proud, very, very impressed. That's nice that she's impressed. Yeah. And your dad, now your dad, you feel like you can't really, like if you get, let's say tomorrow you got a big win in a, I don't know. Let's say you got your own sitcom tomorrow and you told him.
He'd be very happy for me.
Okay, that's good. That's great.
He'd be really like he's proud of me too. He just doesn't want to see my stand up ever again. He's just like, I never need to see it. I know you're good at it. I love you, babe. Don't need to see it.
That's fine. I think that's okay. He knows that you're gonna mention him.
It's fair. I talk about my vagina a lot.
That's fine.
More than I think a dad needs to know.
That's a good point. I've never thought of that as a dad. If your daughter's. That's an unfair thing as well. Like if I was talking about my dick on stage, which I don't do, because there's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, this is perfect.
How do you joke about perfection? Impossible. Oh God, I made myself sick in my mind with that joke. But You just say that's another unfair thing. Because if I did that, my mum wouldn't, you're right, my mum wouldn't be like, oh, I don't want to watch that. She'd just be like, that's my son joking about his famously massive penis. No.
I've changed the podcast. The Highlands.
Chris subliminally trying to get some good PR about his wang out there.
I feel like my mom likes to go to my stand-up shows. They're fun for her. She loves, she's obsessed with the Laugh Factory in Long Beach.
I'm on there all the time. I should get your mom to come and bring me some cherries next time I'm on.
I know. She probably would be very charming.
I want to meet your mum. I want to feel your mum's flirtation directly.
She's so, oh my, and she throws me under the bus. Oh my God, this bitch.
Oh no, I don't like that. No.
She flirts with my friends and then throws me under the bus. Like she'll be like, oh, Chris, you're very funny. Not like my daughter.
That doesn't work on me. No. That's some sneaky 13-year-old flirting.
That's my mom.
All right. Well, she's been through cherries.
She'll whip out that bag of cherries and be like, you're right, Jenny does suck.
On a moral level. Cherries. On a moral level, Mrs. Zed, I'm not into this. But I'm very easily bought, and you've got a bag of delicious red cherries.
A bag of loose cherries, please.
Loose, fingered by many people cherries during a pandemic. Great. Okay, what was I going to say? So what you've been very honest, and I really appreciate it. That's why I knew you'd be great on this. Been very honest about your parents. No, and I always love chatting to you and hearing about the quirks of your family. What was I going to say? Before we wrap it up, though, actually, one other thing: have your parents got any phrases that this has popped up a few times? Any phrases that they used to say a lot that are like their mantras for life? Because I find them very amusing.
My dad gets frustrated very easily.
Yeah,
and the way I say things like "God damn it." And Jesus Christ at the exact way that he says it.
Wow.
Which is like, when I made that connection, I was like, ah, fuck. His is like, I'm not going to scream it, but he'll just be like, God damn it.
And you
Jesus
do this.
Christ.
Yeah, that is how you say Jesus Christ. I've seen you do it.
Yeah. And then my little sister, when she was like 4, we'd be like, Olivia, do an impression of dad. And she would slam on the table and go, Jesus Christ. He was so mad about it.
He was mad.
That's not how I sound.
Oh, that's
so she's like, Jesus Christ.
Getting angry at a 4-year-old's impression of you. Very so thin skinned. Very thin skinned.
Just God damn it all the time. What else does he say? He's just like,
does he have any little dads? Like phrases he says that he thinks
says
are funny.
Garbage all the time. Does your dad do that?
No. What's
garbage,
my dad?
Tarjay.
That's a very sweet dad. My dad is obsessed with calling the toilet the Welsh Embassy. He keeps calling it that. And I think it's... I haven't looked it up. I assume that's xenophobic about Welsh people. It's some Englishy, a light-hearted British bashing thing. Between the British Isles, different nations. But I've never looked it up, but he'll say it all the time. But he'll say it, and it's almost like every time he says it, he wants you to be like, ah, good one, Dad. But I'm like, he goes, ah, yeah, Welsh Embassy. Like he's just waiting for people to go, cool word, Daddy.
That's really funny.
Yeah. I still don't know what it means. I have to look it up at some point. I'm sure someone messaged me online and someone from Wales tell me why my dad is a horrible person.
Yeah.
So, but that's
I think
that's
my
fun.
Mom doesn't really have anything.
Hers is, I ate nothing today.
Today I have one meal. Jenya, I don't understand. I don't eat breakfast in the morning and I have lunch for coffee at night. I eat so much food. I don't understand. I'm like, Mom, you're hungry. I'm not hungry.
Your body is eating itself.
I'm like, I'll be like, Mom, I'm going to have breakfast. I don't need breakfast. I know, Mom, you don't need breakfast, but I want it. No one in my family eats breakfast.
That's a fun mum thing. I've known mums love showing off about stuff that is just like insane. They're like, well, I don't need that. It's like,
yeah, I don't need it.
I don't need
it. Oh, you need sustenance in the morning? Pfft, I don't need it.
Mum, that's why she doesn't have water. Are people, what, you die if you don't have it for 3 days? I'm alive. Never had it in my life.
Yeah.
Never, I made it this far.
I never drink water. You crazy? Water's gross. Gross.
Shoes? I don't need them. My feet are really, really calcified.
No one in my family needs it. I remember literally her being like, no one in my family's blood. I was like, Mom, my blood sugar is really low in the morning. I need to eat. Not in my family.
Oh, really?
That's your dad's family.
Oh, like, God. What? Amazing. Amazing.
Anything about like my body or like the way it looks, it's your dad. That's your dad's side of the family. No one in my family's like that. Except that I look exactly like my grandmother, who was also like a fat woman. I look
right.
Exactly like her.
Oh, well,
it's
know,
so funny.
You know where that comes from. Your mom's got her own insecurities and she's just...
Well, it comes... the thing too, this is like when you like look at generational trauma. My grandmother used to lament how she wish she looked like she did during the war because she was so skinny.
Oh, God.
Because she was dying because St. Petersburg was starved out by the Nazis.
Rations, yeah, there's no
and they're
supplies.
Like, no, my waist was so tiny. I mean, that's, ate people. You ate people.
Everyone else is like in this like era of celebrating post-war life. And she's like, kind of miss being in a bunker, not having any any supplies. Oh, that's sad.
I miss being a size 32.
Oh, my God. What a sad reality of the way.
So her trauma was put onto my mom, who's put it onto me. And so it's going to stop with me. My kids, I'm going to give them some other kind of weird trauma.
Okay.
I'm not going to give them body issues, but I'll give them something fucked up.
Yeah, well, you got to give them something. You can't
make it too easy. Fucked up.
I need someone to be fucked up. Otherwise, no one's going to listen to this podcast.
I know.
Before we wrap it up, though, you've been amazing. And as I said, always love hearing about family. If your parents could listen... and would listen to this, would you, anything you'd like to say to them?
I love my parents very much, and I know that they love me. I know that I'm the favorite out of all of them. I think Olivia is everyone's favorite because she's like a new hope.
Yeah.
She's like a brand new start.
It's potential.
And I know that they did the best they could, and... to my mother, you are a good mother. Sometimes we'll be driving in the car and just silence. Nothing will prompt it. And she'll be like, I was a bad mom.
Oh.
Just nothing. I'm like, no, just mom, like, you were great.
You I just quietly just turn on Sirius FM, yeah. XFM.
Like, yeah. So mom, you were a great mom. You are a great mom. You're still here.
Fuck. Yeah.
Dad, you're a great dad. You're a little ideologically silly, but that's fine. And I wouldn't be where I am today if not for you guys and your love and support. And thank you for fucking, because here I am.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say thank you for fucking me up, but instead you went, thank you for fucking, which is actually nicer. That was lovely. I think that's nice. I think I like, this is what this is about. You can be honest and it's good for honesty to come out, but at the end of the day, still be grateful.
I think they have enough awful things to say about me. You know what I mean? And they'd probably also be very warranted. Like, Jenny, you're a moody cunt. And I'd be like, yeah, you're right.
That's the spin-off series where I just interview parents for their chance to riposte.
I think, actually, that'd be a really great, you interview the kid and then interview the parent.
Yeah, obviously obviously in person with your mom, so I get a sweet, sweet berries, you know.
I'll be like, mama, if you're going to go. And I call her mama, which is very, I feel like people don't do that.
It's very Spice Girls.
It's Russian, so it's like, it's mama. Russian. So I'll be like, mama, please bring your bag of cherries with you. Mate. Does he like cherries?
Mate.
He loves cherries.
I love him so
love
much.
Cherries.
I've actually got a shirt with cherries on them.
Jenny, is he Jewish? Like, do you really? She would first ask if you're Jewish, and then she'd be like, are you sure you don't have any Jews in your family?
Some people have asked me if I am. I might be. I've never checked
my
family.
I don't think so.
Well, you don't think so. I don't think I am.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, the question's been asked. Do with that what you want. I'm not digging any deeper into why that's been asked.
And my dad would be like, oh, hey, Chris, so Brexit. What a what's it like over there?
Boris is doing well, right? Fan of Boris. I'm like, oh god.
No,
no, I'm not. All right, final thing then. Okay. That's been lovely. My dad, I'm going to play him this. We're trying to get him to say I love you to me. I know he does. I'm not saying he doesn't. I just think he needs a little bit of help getting over that little bit of a generational, it's not the done thing. Doesn't like it being forced upon him. So I thought, what better way than forcing him by getting people to encourage him to, anything you'd like to say to John Martin, just to encourage him to just break that barrier, say it.
Look, John Martin, life's short. Just say you love him. All right? No one's forcing you to do it. You're doing it because you feel it in your heart. And once you get it out, it's going to feel so good. It's going to be like, you know, a blueberry pie on a Sunday afternoon.
Oof.
Warm. Just gooey.
On a windowsill.
On a windowsill. And you can steal that love pie. Go, John. Take that little pie off that windowsill.
Oh.
And give that pie to your son. And that pie says, I love you on the inside.
My God. That's this podcast made me really hungry. Just want to eat delicious fruit. Jen, you've been amazing. Before you go, have you got anything you want to plug? Anything that people can... I think it'd be mainly British listeners, perhaps some Americans as well. But anything that, you know, the good thing about the world now is it's online, so they can find
you. That's true. My TikTok got banned, so I lost 70,000 followers.
Why'd I get banned?
Because like anti-maskers reported me for hate speech because I called them stupid. It was either that or because I did a joke where I talked about having an OnlyFans.
Oh, God.
Yeah, TikTok. And they were like, this is a place for children.
Screw TikTok.
I mean, that's a bummer.
Do you want to plug something else?
So it's Jenny Zagrino Comedy on TikTok now. So go follow me on that.
Oh, right.
Instagram,
okay, sorry.
Just Jenny Zagrino. Thanks, everybody.
Go check her out, guys. Jenny's one of the best in the game.
Love you. I love you. Even if your dad doesn't. Go, John. Give that pie to your son. And that pie says, I love you on the inside.
Dad, how does that feel?
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, it's very American blueberry pies. I don't think, do we have blueberry pies in the UK?
Not really. Have you ever had one?
I think I've had one in America, but I don't think I've had one over here.
What type of pie would be more appealing to you in this sort of analogy?
Blackberry and apple would be more sort of English, really.
So she's kind of screwed it up by getting...
No, really. I think blueberry is probably a good thing to have. I mean, why can't you have blueberry?
It's a superfood.
Yeah, it's probably totally good for you.
Yeah, I don't know if in a pie crust it's as good for you, but so yeah.
That's one of the problems of all this food eating, because often ancillary there's lots of bits of naughtiness.
That is the issue. So related to that, do you want to say I love you yet?
I don't know. I think I'm thinking about how to work around the blueberry pie with I love you.
That's really you've really been bogged down in the pie more than the love. All right.
So I'll see you next week then.
Okay. All right. I love you, Dad. Yeah, that's a nod.
A podcast from producerpaul.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.